Well, since we are a few minutes late, I'm going to get right into my message. If you want to open your Bibles to 1 John, and we're going to continue with the second part of my message from last week, and we're looking at truth versus error. So we had seen that with the second coming of Christ, as the second coming is drawing nearer and nearer, we're going to be seeing more and more false prophets or false Christs, all attempting to draw the church away from the true Jesus Christ. And two sermons ago, we saw that another area that draws Christians away from Christ is through worldliness, the appeal to our sinful natures. And then we see last week, and we'll see today, the drawing away through false teachings that are introduced into churches. And this is what the church was struggling with as John wrote his letter here. So John helps his church decipher and test those teachings to know truth from error. Because sometimes things may look right, things may sound right, but they're far from being true. And if we're not diligent and careful, such things can draw us away, can divide us. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 2, starting with verse 18. Dear children, the last hour is here. You have heard that the Antichrist is coming, and already many such Antichrists have appeared. From this we know that the last hour has come. These people left our churches, but they never really belonged with us. Otherwise, they would have stayed with us. When they left, it proved that they did not belong with us. But you are not like that, for the Holy One has given you His Spirit, and all of you know the truth. As I said last week, this is our verse that we covered some last week. This wasn't just some differences in interpretation. This wasn't just some differences in opinion that John is addressing. No, it is really a departure from the faith that he's talking about. A departure from the cornerstone of our faith, and that is Jesus Christ. This church that John is writing to has seen a number of people leave to follow after worldliness or false Christ. You see, last week I said Satan doesn't care if you go to a place of worship. Satan doesn't care if you bow down to something other than him, but he definitely doesn't want you bowing down to the true Jesus Christ. So his ploy may be to put something out there that looks like Jesus and sounds like Jesus, but it's not. It's not the real Jesus. And if we look at many different religious groups that are all around us, I'll give you a couple examples. Islam, Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons. Also the Mormons are also known as Latter-day Saints. You got Christian Science and even something called the New Age Movement. If you ask anyone who is in these groups if they believe in Jesus, what are they going to say? They're going to say yes. Anyone that goes to those Muslims, you ask a Muslim, do you believe in Jesus? And they're going to tell you, yes, I believe in Jesus. If you think Christians are the only ones who believe in Jesus, you're mistaken. The bigger question would not be if you believe in Jesus, but who is Jesus? That's the bigger question. Is my mic on? You can hear me just fine? Okay, good. So let's look at a little bit of this. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus for the Muslims? I'll tell you a little bit. Jesus, for a Muslim, is someone who has several titles. And there's actually several of them that are consistent with Christianity. Several claims are similar, like being born of a virgin. Can we just find? Okay, good. So let's look at a little bit of this. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus for the Muslims? I'll tell you a little bit. Jesus, for a Muslim, is someone who has several titles. And there's actually several of them that are consistent with Christianity. Several claims are similar, like being born of a virgin, a worker of miracles. His ministry is foretold by John the Baptist. Who is Jesus? There's a significant departure from Scripture in that to a Muslim, Jesus was just a man, just a prophet who heralds the way of Muhammad. While they give tremendous respect to Jesus, they do not believe that he was crucified, and they definitely do not believe that he was God or a payment for our sins. Now, that's definitely not the same. Who is Jesus for the Mormons? They will tell you they believe Jesus is a God. Is a God. Meaning that they believe that there are many gods. Jesus was a man who became a God. But then they believe anyone who does the right things can become a God too. Well, let's look at Jehovah's Witnesses. You know, everyone enjoys when they come knocking at the door, right? Well, who do they believe Jesus is? They believe Jesus is the highest created being. They believe Jesus is also Michael, the archangel, a mighty yet lesser God. Who is Jesus for Christian Science? They believe Jesus as an adult became godlike when he obtained perfect truth. But then they believe any human can become their God if they attain such understanding. Christian Science is right around the corner. There's a New Age group that's similar to Christian Science, and they believe God is... It's like God is in everything and everyone can be a God. So they think Jesus is the same there. But all of these groups, they're going to tell you about a Jesus that significantly departs from what we believe of who Jesus is that we find in Scripture. Who is Jesus according to the Scripture? There are many scriptures that I could look at, and I know I'm going to have many of you coming up and say, you missed this scripture, you missed this one about who Jesus is to us. I can't grab all of those scriptures. But let's look at a few. Let's look at a few who Jesus is in Scripture. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And what does it say? The Word was God. Not was a God, but the Word was God. There's a huge difference. John 1:14, I'm going to go through these fairly quickly. The Word was the Word became flesh. This clearly indicates that Jesus is God in the flesh. He is both fully God and fully human. John 10:30, I and the Father are one. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they are one God, but three persons. That is the triune God. Let's look on. I think I have some more of them here. Thomas the disciple declared to Jesus, "My Lord and my God." That's in John 20:28. Jesus does not correct Thomas. The Apostle Paul describes him as our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, in Titus 2:13. The Apostle Peter says the same, our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, 2 Peter 1:1. The Old Testament prophecies of Christ announce his deity, his godness. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9:6. Jesus is God, and Jesus is our Savior. Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jesus is God. And why is that so important? If he were not God, his death would not have been sufficient to pay the penalty of our sins. Salvation would not be found if he were not God. And if Jesus was not fully man, he could not die and pay the price of our sins. And if we look back just a little bit ago, we covered a verse, 1 John 2:2. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Wow. Jesus is the only way to salvation, and it is by faith in him that we receive that salvation. After the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost, the apostles Peter and John were brought before the Jewish court to answer questions after a crippled man was healed. Peter tells the court who Jesus is. Acts 4:9-12. If we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple, and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you've crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is the stone the builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Jesus is Savior. There may be other groups teaching and preaching a salvation found in works or new revelations or a salvation that can be obtained by your own merits, but that does not fit with the gospel. Christ is replaced by something imitation, then you've been fooled and fallen out of the community of the body of Christ. As I said last week, it is really difficult to see friends or family or other loved ones turn away from the truth of Christ to embrace something that is a lie. Now, this isn't differences that we see in certain interpretations. Again, I want to clarify, it's not differences in convictions, because let's be honest, we're all different. We will have differences between us on various things. That doesn't make us false. We're all different. We will have differences between us on various things. That doesn't make us false prophets or false teachers. But if we have differences in beliefs of who Christ is and what he has done for us, that becomes a big problem. We see in the next few verses of 1 John that there is a test of truth. Let's read starting with verse 21 of 1 John chapter 2. So I'm writing to you not because you don't know the truth, but because you know the difference between truth and lies. And who is a liar? Anyone who says that Christ, Jesus is not the Christ. Anyone who denies the Father and the Son is an antichrist. Anyone who denies the Son doesn't have the Father either. But anyone who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. So you must remain faithful what you have been taught from the beginning, he promised us. We see John is writing to the church after it has lost many people because of false doctrines concerning Christ. The ones who are left, the ones who did not chase after these new teachings concerning Christ, have held to the faith. They have held to what they were taught about Christ. And John is commending them, saying that you know the difference between truth and lies because you've seen that firsthand. You've seen your church tore apart because of it, and they've held the faith. Those that are left have differentiated truth from lies because the Holy Spirit was at work in them and they were sensitive, saying that you know the difference between truth and lies because you've seen that firsthand. You've seen your church tore apart because of it, and they've held the faith. Those that are left have differentiated truth from lies because the Holy Spirit was at work in them and they were sensitive to listen to Him. They didn't just follow any teaching. They didn't just follow a teacher. They were careful and they allowed the Holy Spirit to speak to them, to guide them. And anyone who denies that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed Savior, the Son of God, or God incarnate, John's pretty blunt, says they're a liar. What they teach is the language of their master, and that's a father of lies. But if you want to test what is truth from error or lies, ask who, what, and where does Jesus Christ fit into things? If Christ is only a wise man, or if Christ didn't actually die on the cross, or if Christ wasn't sin-free, and we could go on with a long list of things, if He wasn't those things, if Christ doesn't fit what we have in Scripture, which was taught from the beginning, it's a lie. We're to reject those things. Because those statements I just made are not the Jesus Christ who we know as our Lord and Savior that we read about in Scripture. And if we don't know the Son Jesus, we're told that we don't know the Father. And there are so many religions that fall short that we see in this world. They want a salvation from a Father without having the Son. But Jesus is the Savior. The reality is that if you don't have the Son, you don't have the Father. Without the Son Jesus, there is no salvation, there's no forgiveness of sins. Again, John is really being pretty blunt in his words in Scripture here. There isn't a gray area when it comes to Jesus Christ. Your salvation depends on faith. On your faith in Jesus. John 8:19, the second half. You do not know me or my Father, Jesus replied. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. Jesus is reiterating that point. You want to know Jesus, you need to have a relationship with Him. It's more than just saying He exists. It's knowing Him and being known by Him. And one of the scariest things to think about when it comes to many of the world's religions and those people John is writing about who left the church and gave up what they knew to be true, is that they are all going to meet Jesus at the end. Even though they may have believed in something else or in someone else, they're going to meet Him and they're not going to know Him. Matthew 7:22-23 says, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. We can rationalize over and over why we do or say things, but this verse is the truth. People can say we believed Christ was a great man. We believed He was a good prophet. We believed He was another God. But you know what? For those people, the reply is going to be very simple of what Jesus is going to tell them. I never knew you. I never knew you. We think about that day when we come before Christ. So we know every knee is going to bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. And we want to hear not those words. We want to hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Well done. I think I'll end there. Maybe we'll have part 3 next week. But that's where the point is Christ is real. But there's many imitations out there. There are many things out there that want to point you to something else that they say is going to lead to salvation. But it's Christ alone. It's Christ alone. Let's pray.